You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Oh my goodness. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. It's wonderful to have you here. We've got an awesome guest with me in studio. Holy cow, he's back. It's been a minute. The mayor of the third largest city in Wisconsin, number one in our hearts, though.
That's right.
That's right. We've got Mayor Eric Enrich. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, man. I this is awesome. I'm really glad that you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
It's great. I'm super glad that you're here. I think our first discussion that we really ever had was you were in the state assembly, and I think this was Russ Feingold was running against Ron Johnson, and we had a round table, and for some reason I was like one of the hosts of it or whatever. I don't know why, but we went down and we were at a street corner. I was like, dude, how are you? Like, you doing okay? And you did let out this big sigh, and you're like, I'm just exhausted. And I'm like, why? And he said, and this is what you said. He said, I go to work every day and I get my teeth kicked in.
Yes, that was when I was in the state assembly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were a state assembly person. So I was going to say, you don't go to work and get your teeth kicked in anymore.
No.
That's Ahmad's job.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I think for like another a year. And then I think the tables are going to switch there, by the way.
Yeah. And so for people who don't maybe understand the context of that,
yes,
you know, the deep minority is where the Democrats were in the state, yes, assembly when I was serving prior to new maps and all of that. And it could be a little bit frustrating when you have, you know, kind of like a list of policy ideas that you think would be helpful for people in Green Bay and people across the state of Wisconsin, and you sort of just bang your head against the wall and don't make as much progress as you'd like. So to your point, being mayor is a much different much different role.
Yes.
We're able to do quite a bit for people in the community. And we've had a productive year, I think, thanks to a lot of supporters on Common Council and great city staff and just community members at large who are all, by and large, you know, just rowing in the right direction, same direction.
Yeah. You know, it was because of that conversation, really, that like I learned how bad it was down there being in the deep minority.
Yeah.
And we talked about this, I think, last week a little bit, where if you wanted to get something done and you said, hey, I've got something that would be good for the people of Green Bay and really for people in Wisconsin, you had to take the bill that you worked on and bring it to a Republican for them to change all the wording and take all of the credit and all of that.
Yeah, that was sometimes the setup. I was able to pass, I don't know, four bills.
Really?
When I was in the legislature, where I was actually like the primary either assembly author,
no way,
or co-sponsor. So, wow. I mean, you know, that's a relatively, okay, small number. But at the at the time, I was like top of the heap as far as most productive Democrats.
Nice.
Because, you know, I was willing to sort of, you know, get my teeth kicked in, but still go back for another round. And because I think it's really important, no matter if you're in the minority or majority.
Yeah.
Regardless of like, you know, your chances of success on X bill, to give it your all every single time.
Yeah.
I was able to do a few things, very much like kind of nonpartisan, smaller sorts of issues.
Yeah.
But, I have great friends that I made in the state assembly.
Yes.
One of them is running for governor, and I've endorsed him in that race.
We're going to talk about that later.
So great experience, made a lot of great friends, have no regrets about doing that. Cause without that service, I would not have been able to run for mayor and be in the position I'm in now. It was a heck of a ride and continues to be, I think, for those who are in the legislature these days. But it was a great experience for me at the same time.
The guy that succeeded you, Ahmad Rivera Wagner, he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing a great job
for us. And you miss him in your office?
Yeah, but you know, we get to...
Oh, gosh. You keep going here, I'll get you.
We lost my my headphones here. Yeah, but we get the chance to work together a fair amount on all kinds of things. And yeah, we've got a good delegation with Jamie Wall and Ryan Spivey and Ahmad and the rest of the crew too, you know, as far as Republicans that represent the city, enjoy, you know, conversations with them as well.
So talk about, so you can take your experience down there of getting kicked in the teeth, and that kind of hardens you for what you're doing now. Holy cow, you guys have had a year in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, we've
it's been nuts.
We've done a heck of a lot. Just, you know, recently, you know, we adopted our comprehensive plan, which is kind of the city's plan for the next couple decades that hadn't been done since back in, I think it was 2002 when
Seriously?
The last plan was written. Yeah, so
what is that?
I mean, it really, you know, this isn't Sim City, right? So you can't map out exactly right what you want. Yeah, that's probably kind of an outdated reference. At
is this
it point,
really? Really?
I don't know. Maybe is it called Sims now? I don't
was
know.
It, yeah.
Sure.
It was like the old version, and like you could, here comes a tornado and really have some fun. And,
right. And you put the, you know, the houses here and the businesses there and
rolling
and
blackouts.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just gives us a sense for, and gives the community a sense for where we want to go with community and economic development. It was a, you know, just a really involved process with residents and businesses and an advisory committee that had a lot to say as far as, you know, what people would like to see over the next couple decades. So it just kind of gives us a guide map, you know, where we want to go with the city over the coming years. Related to that we also had a number of housing affordability zoning changes.
Okay.
That were recommended. So I think it was like 93-ish changes that we made to our zoning code that our common council just recently adopted, you know, shrinking minimum lot sizes, allowing for accessory dwelling units, which is essentially like kind of a granny flat in the backyard.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
Which we've been doing in Green Bay for, you know, for a very long time, but then we're kind of outlawed, you know, for a good portion of our history. But if you go to the like Astor East River neighborhood, you'll see, you know, those kinds of homes.
That's cool.
And that exists. So anyway, just, you know, working with the realtors and the home builders, Habitat, NeighborWorks to really advance a pro housing, a pro affordable housing agenda. So that was just another one of the recent things.
What did they say in that plan? So you get people together and say, hey, you know, like what, I wouldn't even know where to start. You're like,
yeah,
you get into a room, you're like, okay, now what?
Right.
You know?
And I think housing was probably the biggest item that came through loud and clear was people recognize the housing affordability crisis that we're facing within the city. And so whatever we can do to make it easier to develop high quality, affordable housing really at all levels of income is what we need to do. And so that came through loud and clear from a lot of groups.
That's a huge topic. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, everything, right? Is like, that's been our approach, is to throw everything against the wall. Some of it'll stick and some won't. But we've got, you know, a really high-end project that's underway just a couple blocks from here.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The new land development, which is known as Nova Green Bay. So 268 units, 8 stories, bar and restaurant on the first floor.
It's a skyscraper in this town, hey.
Yeah, right? We're growing up a little bit.
That's going to be as tall as the hospital, hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so we're excited about that one. But there's also a conversion. Really our first really large-scale residential conversion project that the city's been involved in, the old U.S. Bank building.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Schreiber employees were in that building until, I don't know, 2012, 2013. And since then, it's been largely vacant.
That's a huge building to be vacant.
It is. It is. And that actually, you know, talking about skyscrapers, that one's a bit even taller than than what we're talking about with Newland. So some nice views on that top floor,
nice.
Right? So some 63, I think, units being created over there. Wow. And those will be open in 2026 along with these 268 units we were just talking about.
We're talking with Green Bay Mayor Eric Enrich. Is there, so like when someone wants to bring a project forward, how does that work?
It all depends. I mean, we've joked a little bit publicly about the Newland deal because I actually direct messaged the CEO of Newland and was like, hey, I see you're doing some cool stuff in Milwaukee, like everything about Green Bay.
Oh, for real? Really?
So it can be that informal to developers just, you know, approaching my office or community and economic development and saying, hey, we'd like to come to town and just get a sense for what you guys are looking for. But yeah, I mean, it kind of runs the spectrum. We're willing to do anything and everything. that we need to do to make good stuff happen within the community. So, yeah, that's what we've done.
Is there like a, obviously there's a team to figure out, you know, this is a good idea. What's the benefits? What's the drawbacks? You know, that's
right. Yeah. I mean, what kind of an incentive are people asking for? What is reasonable? You know, we use our TIF districts quite a bit to incentivize new developments. But that doesn't always pencil out. You know, sometimes what the developer is asking for, you know, just we can't make work, and it isn't in the interest of our taxpayers. But by and large, you know, we've been as creative as we possibly can be to move things forward in the housing world, but also as far as business development, industrial development. We're still a very, you know, manufacturing heavy region and county and city. So one of the things that we were able to do this past year was relocate Green Bay Drop Forge, which is a business that's been on the Fox River, on the south end of the west side of the river, over 100 years. But they never really needed access to the river. It was never that sort of a business. And, so they approached us, you know, we explored the idea of expanding their business on site. But we had always kind of said, you know, for us, it's easiest to offer incentives when you're creating new property tax value.
Yeah.
You know, in a big way. So we were able to relocate them out to the Grandview Industrial Park, which is on the far east side. They're going to be in the same neighborhood, if you will, as Carnivore, which is a big pet food manufacturer. Yes.
I owned a restaurant and I sold it, but when I owned it, they catered a bunch from us.
Oh,
Carnivore did.
You know? Oh, nice.
And so it's interesting, like some of those places, I'm sure because you go on tours and all that.
Yeah.
And you walk in, and this is not, you know, this is not against Carnivore because their people were amazing. But to eat lunch, and sometimes it smells like what a carnivore you would think that.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, and they were in pretty,
their people are amazing.
Humble
though.
Surroundings at their old location, right? And so now there's a 21st century facility that's.
It's cool.
It's just like a feat of engineering as well.
Yes.
You know, you go in there and it's just, you know, I don't understand 90% of what they're saying as far as like the engineering that went into a building like that, but really, really impressive. So both, you know, homegrown Green Bay businesses that we've been able to work on expansions with and relocations with. So that's the fun stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I've lived here all of my life, and to kind of see all of the cranes and building up and so many things that are going on, like it makes your head spin.
Right.
You know, really, I mean, this is it's been really exciting the last couple of years to see.
Yeah. And we're fortunate in this county, in this region, we're growing, you know, our population's expanding, and that, you know, that's not the case in all corners of Wisconsin. So we're really fortunate to be able to be in that situation and working with a lot of good partners, you know, in the business world, municipal partners, county exec and others to keep pushing things forward.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that could be a legacy thing is, you know, a Green Bay landmark is being destroyed. The coal piles.
Our iconic coal piles.
Yes, downtown. Yeah. What the hell, man?
You know? I know. People aren't going to be able to ski down the piles anymore. Which is one of the...
What a loss.
Yeah, the best posters ever created.
I love that.
For the city.
Yes.
But yeah, that was another, you know, exciting thing to be a part of. You know, thanks to our county board and county executive for negotiating that deal with C. Rice. You know, at the goal line really of finalizing the formal lease, they're still in the process of doing that. But,
Very cool.
Thankfully our state of Wisconsin and the federal money that came in made all that possible.
We're going to continue the discussion here with Mayor Eric Genrich on the other side. You're listening to The Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. What have we done with it? I always try to say something like witty and cool that in that little break there, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I was going to say like coal piles or something.
We made it work. Yeah. Foo Fighters are great. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yes. We're sitting down with your friend and mine, Mayor Eric Genrick of Mayor of Green Bay. And we were talking about a lot of the exciting things that are happening in Green Bay. Like, do you ever, on a personal side, like as you're coming in, just take a moment to appreciate what's happening right now and like what you're able to do and the legacy you're able to leave?
I mean, a little bit, you know,
that's a cool thing.
You're doing
man.
The work, right? More than anything, but this is kind of the time of year for that. Right.
Yeah,
so
I've
been working on, sort of the year in review. It's nice.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we touched on a few of the development projects that we've been fortunate to be part of. But we've also got a lot of exciting things going on in our parks.
Really?
So 2026, I think in some respects is going to be the year of park projects. So Lake Park is a big
I'm
one for us.
Stoked for that.
The pavilion is architecturally really pretty striking.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
So we're excited that, actually going to be awarding that bid here very shortly at our city council and moving forward with that project.
If people want to see that, it's on the, I think, city website?
It should be.
Facebook page?
Yep. It should be on the city site.
It's really cool. It's like an outdoor concert pavilion. Just for people that don't know what this place is, like this is a site in Green Bay where the iconic Titletown restaurant is there, but that was
the
depot
right behind. Yep.
Right. They have the statue of the Donald Driver. This is where the cruise ships that dock, they'll dock right there. It's a really beautiful part of the city.
Yeah, it's one of our biggest waterfront parks. Is where we celebrate the 4th of July.
Yes.
And, so people are really, those that are from here, very familiar with the site. But, as far as facilities, there's nothing there.
Right.
Right? There aren't any bathrooms. So this is going to be a brand new pavilion with bathrooms and a beer garden, ability for people to sell beverages and potentially consume them in a nice environment on the river. Another great gathering spot that we're creating in the city of Green Bay. And then farther south, the shipyard, is a big park development for us. So phase one has been in place for a little bit now. We have a riverfront promenade and a kayak launch and some floating docks and a fishing pier. But the next phase is going to be even better with a great lawn and a really nice playground, destination scale playground down there. So people are going to be able to bring their kids and hang out. Some beach volleyball courts are going to be added. So that'll be kind of a fun element as well. And then on the southeast side of town, we've talked a fair amount in the community about the JBS development.
Yeah, that's Packerland Packing.
Yes.
The JBS, yes.
Yeah.
Huge.
26.5 acres that JBS and formerly Packerland had owned for decades and decades. And thankfully, we were able to have them donate that land to the city of Green Bay. So a big portion of that is going to be housing development. Some that's underway right now, 100 units of workforce housing.
That's cool.
Some single family that's going to be developed with Redu Construction, as well as Habitat and hopefully NeighborWorks as well.
Oh, nice.
But in addition to that, just kind of going back to the parks thing, another great playground being created there, partnership with Wello to operate an urban farm.
Oh, cool.
So the city council just approved essentially like an urban barn.
Nice.
To house some of the equipment that's necessary to make that work. Another great number of public projects that we've been engaged in over the last year. And I think people are going to be able to come to fruition here in 2026.
That's awesome. I love local government. Local government is very cool. It's near and dear to my heart. When I was on the Brown County board, and when I ran with the help of the Republican Party, And, it was really interesting though. You get elected as like, I'm going to hold the line on these tax and spending and all this stuff.
Sure.
And you get in, you realize that like, there's not a lot of waste.
There's not a lot of fat, right?
No. And one of the things that my first meeting that I took this is before I had any sort of official meeting of the county board or anything. My first meeting with someone that was a staff member was at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, one of the parking ticket people was knocking on because my meter was expired. Cause I was sitting in my car absorbing what I just saw and what I listened to, and it was like Scrooge, you know, as I went into this with this one thing, and then I went into the library and talked to the staff and learned about the kids that have to go there because they don't have internet at their house, and people that go there because they want to apply for jobs. And when it's cold, people that go there, so they're like warm, and the need that's in the community. And like, I got emotional thinking about, oh my God, like I had this mindset, but there's so much more out there.
Right.
What I'd like, I would imagine being the leader of the city, you would feel a lot of that weight and that responsibility would be heavy.
Yeah. I mean,
because there's so much.
Right. And I think our alders experienced the same thing that you experienced on the county board. You know, our last budget was adopted unanimously by our city council, modest increase in property taxes, but we have so many demands and so many services that people appreciate and rely on and expect. So, I mean, you look at the budget and nearly half of it is for public safety, right? For police and fire, they take up roughly half of the city's budget. DPW and parks, you know, come shortly thereafter. And you know, you go through those services and nobody wants the city to do less.
Yep.
Right. And we're always trying to figure out how we can be more efficient with public dollars. Actually going to have a presentation at an upcoming city council meeting about some of the performance management tools that we're implementing and all of that. But when it comes down to it, it's, you know, it's really hard to cut out that so-called fat because it just doesn't exist at the local level.
Conversation continues here on the Rational Revolution right after this. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Down with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. You know, if you want to re-listen to this episode, because why wouldn't you? I mean, come on. Everything is available at civicmedia.us. Download it, like it, share it, all of the things. I also want to touch on briefly, or not briefly, I don't know. I mean, you know, our community was in the news for not all the greatest of reasons. There was a video that I think is kind of become infamous. It didn't happen in Green Bay. It was in Schwabenon, you know. But there was an employee that accosted customers for being Somali. And she said, you know, she was proudly talking about the fact that she was a racist. She called them a word that we can never, ever say. And there is no excuse for saying it. She's raised about $100,000 for that, which is ridiculous. But I think you did something pretty cool and stood with the Somali community in Green Bay. Talk about that. It shouldn't have ever been something that needed to be said.
Yeah, and unfortunately, right? I think there's like a larger context to it that
I want to talk. Yeah,
people are aware of. But, you know, when the president of the United States is referring to an entire nationality or ethnicity as garbage people, it creates this permission structure where people feel empowered to be really awful to one another. And, you know, so when something like that happens and you're the mayor of a community like Green Bay, that's incredibly diverse. You know, you just feel an obligation to stand with those who have been attacked. And so in this case, it was the Somali community, the refugee community, immigrants generally. And, so gathered with Saeed Hassan, who is very active with KAMSA, which is a primarily Somali organization, although they've done a lot of great work with Ukrainian refugees in recent years, helping them relocate and resettle. Members of our Equal Rights Commission, other community-based organizations, just, you know, a number of alders, average citizens just coming out to say, hey, we're, you know, we're all residents of Green Bay and we got your back. You know, when somebody attacks an individual or a group or a class of people, you know, based on their appearance or their nationality or background, it's just, it's not acceptable.
Right.
And the point that I was just trying to make is like, you know, we have a civic obligation, a patriotic responsibility to stand up for this country's values, right? And we're going to be celebrating America's 250th birthday.
We're a nation of immigrants.
In 2026. Yep. And, you know, what are we celebrating? The Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Right? And says, we're all born equal.
Yep.
And we're entitled to certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And pursuit of happiness, you know, people, I think, sometimes overlook and don't necessarily take into account that when that was written, it was really about like the cultivation of a good life. Mm. And when you are attacking a group of people, you're interfering with their ability to live their lives in a decent way that we all, you know, should expect to be able to do. And so I think we all have a responsibility. I have a heightened responsibility being the mayor of this community to call that stuff out, but I think we all do. And it's been unfortunate to see, you know, some people sort of making this like a both sides kind of a thing. It's like, this doesn't need to be a partisan issue. And even if the president is your guy, you don't have to agree with an elected official that you've supported on every single thing that they say. So maybe like take a beat and say, you know what? No, I'm going to call out racism and say that, you know, that's not in keeping with who we are as people.
It's okay to say that it's wrong when it's so blatantly wrong.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's interesting. And we talk, it feels like I get my teeth kicked in sometimes, you know, because there's so much that you have to push back on, whether it's, you know, that or the attacks on the LGBT community and, you know, the administration doing things like looking to end birthright citizenship and, you know, now immigrants or people that are coming with visas have to open up their social media. They're talking like, this is nuts, dude. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And, you know, to circle back, I mean, I think we have an opportunity to, I talked about last week, if there is someone that's in an elected office and they are hurting a community and not representing, I called out Tony Weed, you don't have to say anything, but he's terrible. There is a guy, I kind of made a little bit of a name for myself by fighting against our buddy Ron Johnson. And he needs to go. And he's not doing anything to help your community or any community in Wisconsin. And you talked about that you have a friend that that you'd like to see defeat Ron Johnson.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
about that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Mandel Barnes running for governor. So he ran against Ron Johnson, you know, a few years back.
Yep.
But taking a shot at the governor's office this time around. And I served with Mandela when I ran for office. Ran for state assembly for the first time back in 2012. He was in that class that also was elected to the state assembly. So I've had the opportunity to work with him.
You worked with Tom Tiffany as well.
I guess so.
I mean, not with him, but he was what, Senate?
Yes, he was still working in Madison at that time. I don't think, you know, we worked on any bills with one another, but
I would imagine not.
Yeah,
no.
he was in the Capitol at that time. And, you know, so have, you know, been able to work with Mandela, but also follow his career.
Yes. He's amazing.
Since state assembly, you know, he's obviously been our lieutenant governor.
Yep.
And for me, you know, what I've always just really appreciated about him is like the vision that he has for politics, which is bigger than, you know, just getting into these petty partisan fights.
Yes.
Right. Politics is about using power to improve the lives of people that don't have access.
He was darn close in that Senate race too.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, he almost did.
And it would have been history making to defeat an incumbent senator in that environment.
Year,
still was within, you know, several thousand votes, within a percentage point.
Him being governor would be a history making thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really, you know, excited to be able to be supporting his candidacy and looking forward to seeing him elected.
What I like about Mandela is he didn't come from this flowery background, you know, he had to fight for everything that he did and that he got. And, you know, he rose to be the lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin. Like that's a big thing.
Yeah. No, it's a very big thing.
And he's a humble guy.
Yep.
So why him?
Well, like I was saying, I mean, it's his vision of politics that I think is really most compelling, that it's about improving the lives of working people and those that don't have access, you know, to those levers of power traditionally. That's really inspiring to me, but also, you know, just the experience that he has working as lieutenant governor to Tony Evers as governor. Yep. You know, he knows what needs to be done. He also, like I said, you know, was elected to the state assembly along with me. So, you know, having somebody.
Oh, you're in the same class?
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So that's, I mean, it's kind of a while back now, unfortunately.
Don't say that.
It's like
over
a dozen years.
Yeah.
At this point, but
you guys aren't old though.
You know, having someone, well, he's younger than me, but I'm a little old. Having somebody who understands the legislature.
Yeah.
Right? Because in order to do, we don't wave wands. You know, you don't wave a wand as mayor of the city of Green Bay. It requires a common council, the legislative body, to actually adopt policies. And the same is clearly true of being the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And so, you know, having somebody that appreciates what that legislative role is, mm-hmm. how it's best to work with them, you know, what you need to do to get people at the table and you know, agree on different concepts and policies. I think that's also going to be really helpful.
Yeah, and he's a great leader. It's funny. I asked Ahmad Rivera because he endorsed him as well, and I said, you know, why him? And he said, because he had the back of people of Green Bay,
right?
And we're going to have his back too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. When he was out of office, you know, he was leading a group called Power to the Polls.
Hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, just did a lot of great work mobilizing working class people to show up and express their vote.
Yeah. What are the challenges that you see in your job in the city of Green Bay in, you know, the next 4 years that you're going to have to tackle?
I mean, it comes back to what we were talking about earlier with the budget. It's just the dollars and cents aspect of things.
Unanimous. You got that passed unanimously.
We did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope people realize that that's a big deal to be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. You know, Mayor Schmidt used to joke that 8-4 was unanimous. when he was mayor, but it really is like kind of a different era of local mm-hmm. politics in Green Bay. We've got, you know, a city council that has a diverse set of opinions.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
There's no question about that, but we're able to come together on, you know, 99% of issues.
I mean, you have someone on your city council who was Moms for Liberty, like led the Stop the Steal rally in Green Bay, and then fast forward, I don't know, you know, what if she had a Scrooge moment like I did, but she's like doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I try to have a short memory with a lot of a lot of stuff.
But I also think that says a lot about you and your character, mm-hmm. where you don't see that. You see, the pothole is not a Republican or Democrat pothole.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what's the issue? You know, what can we do to address it? And we figure out how to collaborate and make things happen. But yeah, as far as things that are facing us, you know, in the future, it's financial more than anything, just as far as municipalities in the state of Wisconsin being overly reliant on property taxes.
Mm. What do you do about that?
It's not good. And it holds us back as a state because our municipalities can't be as competitive as we might be with other communities around the country, because the first number that people oftentimes look at is like, oh, what are the property taxes like in this community? And Wisconsin's are just, you know, they're just out of line with a lot of other states. Yep. And so, you know, one thing that I've been talking a fair amount about, a broken record on, is, you know, advocating for some flexibility with regard to those revenue streams. Mm. So a local option sales tax is something that I've advocated for repeatedly.
Milwaukee does that.
They do. Yep. They got the right to do that with Act 12, as it's called, not this past session, but the one before. That piece of legislation also was very helpful to us as a city. So mm-hmm. we received another $3 million from the state of Wisconsin in shared revenue.
Wow.
Which is great. But if you go back to 1999, if things had just increased, you know, in tandem with inflation, the city would be receiving another $24 million from the state of Wisconsin. So if that were the case, you know, it would essentially eliminate our annual borrowing request, right? Would radically reduce the amount of borrowing that we have to do from the city's point of view, would enable us to do, you know, a lot more as far as infrastructural improvements, roads, bridges, facilities, and the like.
So, and one of the things that too, we only got like a minute left, but it was a really big deal where you guys worked with the school board to break out what people are paying in taxes on the Green Bay City tax bill.
Sure.
Between the school district and vouchers.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I actually worked on when I was in the state legislature, you know, we've been advocating for voucher school transparency for a number of years. But thanks to, you know, people like Representative Rivera Wagner, who, you know, worked with us with the Department of Revenue to figure out exactly how we could put this on a property tax bill. We were able, and thanks to our support, obviously, from our common council, we're going to be doing that or have done that for the first year with property taxes that are going out, you know, on your tax bill. It'll just say, you know, very clearly, this is, you know, X millions of dollars that are going, you know, from our public schools to private voucher schools.
Yeah.
And it, even for people that, you know, support them, right?
Yeah.
That support that kind of system of education. It's just telling people what the facts are,
yep.
Right? And so that's why, from my point of view, felt like it was a worthwhile effort and something that we should offer right. people.
10 seconds left. Are you gonna, you got another term in you?
We'll see.
You'll see?
Yeah.
I hope, you know, so.
Got to sit down with the wife and the kids
yeah.
and make sure it's still something
it's that, not a
that
no.
people are up for.
Yeah, right
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we got time.
Dude, thank you so much. Yeah. We'll be right back with my thoughts after this. And again, thank you so much to Mayor Eric Genrich. Go Packers, go.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you very much to Mayor Eric Genrich. You know, oh, he's a good dude. And the city of Green Bay is really well represented and well led, I think, by him. And it's interesting to kind of follow his career of where, you know, he was. He's a brilliant guy, you know, and I think he was an aide down in Madison, and then in the state assembly, and worked his way up and you know, earned the trust of the people of Green Bay. And he's a genuinely good person, and it's hard to find that in politics. It really is. You know, we kind of talk about, it's not left versus right, it's right versus wrong. But Eric is someone that can really just know what the right thing is. And he has such a unique ability to explain why it's right. You know, I there's not a lot of people that can do that. I know I sure can't. And it's cool to see the things that he's doing in Green Bay. If you haven't come to the community, come check it out. You know, the skyline is different. The arts and the entertainment is different. The restaurants are different. There's a lot going on here. And I think he'll never admit it, but he does deserve a lot of credit for it. And I think it starts with, and we talked about it a little bit, being able to meet people where they are. And, you know, I kind of talked about my moment that I had when I was in the Brown County Board and local elected office. That changed a lot of my perspective, like a lot of my perspective. And I hope, you know, as we get into the Christmas season, holiday season, whatever, it really would take people talking about some of these things to get people to have a Scrooge moment. You know, I went to on this week, I went once, my son, it was his birthday, and I took him to A Christmas Carol. My dad plays the role of Scrooge, okay, at Evergreen Theater. It's going to be done by the time this airs, but he was Scrooge. And when I was, and that, this is why it's important and kind of meaningful to our family. When I was little, I was Tiny Tim, and before me, my brother was Tiny Tim, and then it was myself, and my dad was Bob Cratchit, you know, and so our family's been involved in that performance for a while. So it's really cool to see my dad now have that lead role, and he knocked it out of the park. I was so proud of him. It was really, really cool to see. But I think a takeaway from that is just to step outside yourself, because you look at what happened with Scrooge and the three ghosts that came, they took him outside of himself. They took him outside of where he is. I always say that growth begins at the end of your comfort zone. That's like kind of my personal motto. And for me, when I took that meeting at the library, I stepped out of my comfort zone to see the need that other people had. And it really takes you or anyone that moment of humility, that moment of, okay, let's pause here and try to picture yourself in a different situation. That's what it takes. You know, and I love this time of year because, you know, I kind of get sentimental about, you know, what gifts that we have that aren't physical, you know, the gifts that we give to people, the gifts that we receive, you know, of love and of time and of, you know, humility and appreciation, those things that can't be wrapped. It takes that type of a level of understanding to just pause and say, okay, let's grow as a person. And I wish that for everybody. And we talked a little bit about with Mayor Genrich, there is an older person who, you know, wore a red hat and did a Stop the Steal event and all of these things. And yet he's able to reach across that proverbial aisle, because there's no aisles in local government. It's all, you know, we're all nonpartisan ish, but he's able to build a bridge and say, okay, let's work together. Let's do the right thing for the most people. And I try to do that here. And I know Civic Media does a remarkable job at that as well, because man, this stuff is hard. It's really hard. And it's so sad when things happen like this week in Green Bay or Schwabenland, sorry, Eric, where we had that incident of people being accosted in the mall and labeled horrible things by a very proud racist person. And it's sad where people will go online and they'll say, oh, where's the full video? Where's the, you know, you should see what did they say before that? I don't care. I don't care. There's no excuse for that, period. Done. There's no excuse for that. And people need to be able to step outside themselves and see that. You know, like it's something that we all need to do. See the humanity in others. It's not, you know, this is about right versus wrong. That's wrong. And I don't need to see the rest of the video. I don't need to see, you know, there's someone's like, oh, she was talking about the yelling at her for the clothes she was wearing, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Like, I don't care if they said you have a blue face. You don't do those things to someone else. And I think we have an opportunity in this time of, you know, the holiday season, maybe we can be someone's ghost of Christmas past, present, or yet to come, and help other people see outside themselves, and not necessarily do it right in their face, but just be like Mayor Genrich, you know, a soft but firm and kind voice that brings people to their best self. Let's all do that. And I appreciate every one of you hanging out with us on this episode of The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll see you next week. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.